She shakes her head.
No, I don't. I barely know my way around here. There's a lot less talpas here than in the deeper levels, though. And there's bigger, nastier things with them there, too. Not that there's anything wrong with... I mean, not that you're, Anyway, no.
What brought you to this cave in the first place before the tunnels collapsed?
Oh, well, Alvaro was sent out here on a mission from Mother Oasis. Some sort of diplomatic thing. She brought a gift or an offering or something. I never knew what the deal was. She's...
You can tell she's starting to choke up again, but restrains herself.
She's the big important hero. I was just tagging along. She said I raised her spirits.
She lowers her head and bites her lip. You feel like you could better question her if she's not crying, so you change the subject.
A man and an elf came from the surface in the place I came from, you begin, pointing to the pillar you descended earlier. We could use their entrance to return to your home on a surface route. Or, if you wished for revenge, we could continue down and I could make a meal of your enemies.
You're offering to help me?
She asks. The question gives you pause. Traveling overland with this creature would be an inconvenience with no tangible benefit for you. And there's no reason she'd need to tag along if you went deeper underground either. She's right. You did say we, but why? A momentary lapse in judgment? Mind clouded by hunger? Perhaps other creatures from her homeland have more meat in them than she does. Before you can respond, she continues, still choking up a little bit.
Thank you.
Something stirs in you, and several moments pass in silence as you consider what to say.
I can only remember hunger and silence. With this battle, I have helped satiate the former, and speaking with you is pleasant, you respond.
She laughs a little awkwardly and smiles.
If we're going up to the surface, I need to rest. It's a desert up there, and I'm out of spells and animal forms. I can't handle the sun like this, she says, gesturing to her body.
She seems like that option better. She seems to like that option. But you suspect she could change her mind. There's so many. There may also be all the time. There may also be still time. There may also still be time to back out of your offer tactfully. You consider telling her not to take a meat-based form, but thinking back, you're pretty sure you could stop yourself from eating something if you try. Your hunger, while never seeming to abate, hasn't been mind-destroyingly overpowering since you ate the barbarian earlier.
It can't be safe to rest here, you say. I had rested in my room in the ruin above for many years without being disturbed. If you must rest, you may do it there with less chance of interruption.
She looks relieved.
Awesome! I don't feel like I've gotten any sleep since I got trapped here. Lead the way, I guess.
The two of you peer out into the open cavern. Your newly limbered legs take great strides that would outpace Yvette if you weren't stopping for her periodically. You take a moment while walking to peer over to where you saw the four figures around the fire earlier, but they appear to have left, with smouldering embers in their fire pit. You sigh inwardly and mull over the new information you've received.
What can you tell me about the gods this man is championing? You ask after a moment.
Crazy stuff. Something about how all these gods existed a long time ago, but these other gods that we have now killed them and took their godness or something. Oh, and that they didn't, or so couldn't take it from one of them, and the Talpas are looking for his body, or maybe... the surface guy has already and wants to revive the old gods with it or something. I'm sorry, I don't really remember. The gist of it is they worship the old gods that are dead, and if they really exist, not the new ones who they hate. I kind of tuned them out when they started preaching on me. I don't really worship any specific gods. If I do have to pick something I worship, I'd say it's the whole world and the end result of all these gods, not the means that came to be how it is, you know? What about you?
You feel like you should have an answer to this question, but nothing is coming to you. You can't even recall exactly who the gods are, new or old or otherwise. The one thing that you keep returning to, though, is the vision you had when your wound healed. I don't know that I worship anything. I like the stars and the ocean. I don't really remember anything from before, a little while ago, when I woke up in the room up here.
But you have to,
she replies.
You can't see the stars from underground, and there is an ocean for miles.
The rest of the walk to the base of the pillar continues in silence. When you reach the small, winding pathway that spirals around the base of the side of the pillar, you groan as you consider the time it will take Yvette's small legs to cover all that distance. Somehow, deep in the back of your mind, you also like the idea of showing her how fast you can climb. You extend your back tentacles towards her.
I can climb this very quickly if I carry you, you say.
She extends her hand.
Yeah, okay,
she replies. As soon as the last word of her consent is uttered, you wrap your tentacles around her and scoop her off the ground hastily.
Whoop!
She yells.
Careful with those, and with me, okay?
Of course, you reply, binding her tightly against your back.
With leaps and bounds, you ascend to the side of the pillar. You ascend the side of the pillar hastily. You can feel her small body tense up against you, then relax as you reach the top. She squirms a little.
You're fast,
she says quietly.
You can keep carrying me if you want.
You feel a little pride as you begin to navigate through the rough-cut tunnels leading back up to the ruin. As you reach the place where the tunnel reaches the finer-cut hallways, you make a note of the sounds of something living still audible down the unexplored branch. Ignoring it for now, you continue along until you reach the door and set Yvette down.
Whoa!
She breathes.
That was kind of fun.
This is it, you say, gesturing to the room.
You spent years by yourself in this one tiny... Whoa! What?
She rushes over to the pile of discs and rocks and starts to sift through them, making a dull, tinkling sound. She grabs a gold disc and inspects it closely.
Wow,
she says.
This is old. I recognize this symbol. These are gold pieces from the ancient Ungolian Empire. They used to rule the whole continent. Solid gold, too. Oh, my God. If we could ever find a collector. And these.
She holds up one of the rocks.
These are gigantic rubies. I've never seen any rubies, much less ones this side. And this.
She reaches for the sword, but there's a small hissing noise, and she immediately withdraws her hand as soon as she touches it.
Ow! Well, this is a cursed sword. They can't all be winners, I guess.
What does that mean, you ask?
Well,
she begins and looks up at you.
It means you're rich. Like, really rich. You can't buy kingdoms in this, but I don't think you have to worry about any...
She trails off before continuing.
Well, you don't have to worry about not being able to pay for anything anyway.
What would I pay for, you ask?
Oh, I don't know. You could buy a nice house or pay some people to build one for you or something. You could buy tons of livestock, all the livestock you could eat even.
What is a livestock?
Oh, it's like an animal for you to eat.
Your eyes widen at the prospect.
They just exchange living things for these gold discs.
Yep, you could get some cows or some goats or some chickens or something. Not people, though. I mean, I guess you could buy some slaves if it's not really cost-effective.
Somewhere in the dregs of your memory, you pull up an image of a cow, a goat, and a chicken, and fail to be appetized. At least no more than you already were. You reply, gesturing to the glittering pile.
What would you do with them?
She smiles.
Don't get my hopes up. If you want to give me some of them and find out what I do, then I won't say no. Otherwise, just I don't want to get lost thinking about it all day.
She yawns loudly.
I tell you what, I'd buy a really comfortable bed first.
Yes, you need rest. Do you mind if I leave to hunt while you sleep?
Oh, I guess not. As long as you're sure I won't be disturbed by something, and as long as you come back, you don't sleep?
You're not sure how to respond. Now that she mentions it, you do feel sort of groggy. Seeing as much action as you have lately when you haven't been moving for several years has taken a bit out of you, and you think staying here with Yvette might be nice. Still, you're pretty sure you won't have any trouble powering through your grogginess if you put your mind to it, and there's still at least one more living thing in this ruin, not to mention a few mouthfuls of Talpid down below. You inspect the door. There's an iron facing on the inside with a stone cover on the outside that matches the rest of the wall. The locking mechanism was cleverly concealed in the stonework and seems to have been completely disabled.
I do think that I sleep, you reply, but I don't think I will need to for a while. I have one sound in the ruin to investigate. If I find it edible, I will return shortly and rest nonetheless.
She nods and curls up along the back wall as you pull the door to, and you start the short sprint back to the branching hallway. Before too long, you get back to the junction where the rough tunnel meets the smooth one, and continue along the smooth side. The stonework and decor are largely the same in this tunnel. As you advance further along, you find several small rooms behind the hidden paths in the walls, almost identical to your room. All have open doors, all are empty. You begin to advance further down the hall, and it soon meets a junction where several corridors meet and become one larger, more ornate arched tunnel. Some of the more delicate stonework has crumbled, leaving small piles of rubble strewn across the ground. As you advance, it becomes clear that whatever it is you're hearing is quite large. It also seems to grow quiet at your approach. Something in your gut seems like hunger begins to intensify, and you draw you forward. In fact, without even knowing what it is, you feel whatever is in this room would be the sweetest meal, and that if you ate it, you would be forever...
Oh,
says a deep, rumbling voice, echoing as you emerge into a massive chamber. In the center, there is a large circular platform strewn with rubble. In the center of what, if that is what appears to be a stone seat, between the platform and the wall is a deep pit that drops down into the darkness, crossed by several walkways like the one leading from the door you just came in by. The ceiling arches far up above you and is dotted by many geometrically arranged bright lights that seem to be shining on the central seat.
The throne, continues the voice, throne of the Bone Lord. The dead walked for him. I served him once. Or did he serve me? It has been so long, I have forgotten.
The voice pauses as you take note of the severed crown atop the seat.
Struck down like a dream on waking by the simple-minded, they would strike down even the gods with their ignorance. But the voice, the right voice, well, with the right voice like the dead for the Bone Lord, they might walk again.
A large boulder crashes down on the walkway behind you, blocking the door. The voice rises in intensity, its deep pitch giving way to a shrill yell.
For the right voice, they might walk again! For the right voice, the old gods might rise!
A shadow passes overhead, and a fine cloud of black ash drifts down on your head.
Now fall,
the creature says, dropping back to its original tone,
and give me your voice, food.
Ash Crow!
Taking a quick survey of your situation, you decide that you should use your mobility to your advantage and camouflage when possible. Perhaps you can climb onto the ceiling and use your camouflage to get to the drop on it from above. You realize that camouflaging now while you're standing out in the open would be pointless. It would see you turn to stone and would likely proceed to attack you as normal. And then there are those pits. They're deep and narrow, and you can climb up the sides of them easily and limit the bird's mobility. As you consider this, the bird pulls its wings back and goes into a steep dive directly for you.
I am not your food, you reply, with your
superior speed, you react quickly and leap out of the way of the attack directly for the side of the platform. As you sail over the edge, you catch the side of with your sticky, stretchy arms and swing up to cling to the wall. Taking advantage of your new, likely unexpected position, you press up against the wall as flat as possible and camouflage to match the stone.
Fall, the bird responds, has several meanings. You have chosen the wrong one. You are unexpectedly fast and unexpectedly slow.
As it says this, it flaps up to the ledge and dives down the side of the cliff directly in front of you. You have the element of surprise. What do you do? Something clicks in your mind as you see the ash crow dive past you, almost in slow motion. Latching your feet firmly to the wall, you push off with your arms and swing forward. Your arms lash out and latch squarely around the crow's head. As its own speed, your force and gravity all pull you forward, pivoting about where your feet are planted to the wall. With all the force you already have, and as much more as you can manage, you slam the crow's face into the wall. The ancient stonework is crushed under the massive impact, and you see one of the creature's horns snap off and drop into the darkness below. Its body goes limp for a split second, and it starts to flail to try to right itself. Not giving the crow a chance to recover, you reach out to the top of the ledge for leverage and swing it back up where it came from. With the second impact, the crow screeches and slumps back over the ledge, knocking one of the crumbling pillars. With a frantic pull and twist, it manages to escape from your grasp, but is obviously gravely wounded. Pressing your advantage, you leap up over the edge and coil your tentacles up to smash its face. With a pained motion, it screeches and turns, whipping its wings towards you unexpectedly. Flames erupt from its feathers, and its attack catches you off guard under your leg. It uses your momentum to throw you over its back, leaving a long line burned down your right side and crippling your leg. You deftly spin and get back up, keeping weight off of your leg as it turns to face you. It seems to be twitching and flailing just to stay upright. You can see blood dripping from wounds in its face and from its mouth, and its central eye seems to be swollen shut. It glares at you. You mostly see hate in its eyes, but with a touch of envy. It opens its beak slowly and speaks, a deep rumble once again echoing throughout the room.
What do you think you are?
It asks, more statement than a question.
A hero? One of those ignorant wretches fighting for a god they don't.
It stops and coughs red onto the floor.
They don't understand.
It turns to face you and squares its clawed feet in an aggressive stance.
You're my next meal, the aid for my wounds. The time between now and when I devour you, it doesn't matter to you. Why are you dragging it out?
It starts to stumble towards you,
flames sparking from its dragging wings.